Thank you, worship team. I trust that that is the prayer of our hearts as we go to the Lord's Word this morning. I hope that most of you were here last week as Pastor Ben shared with us out of Acts chapter 8. He told the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of Philip. And the Lord used Pastor Ben. The Lord spoke through His Word, I believe, in very powerful ways. Heard a lot of comments, and I myself was very deeply moved, and in particular, really touched by the power of the gospel to change people's lives. That's what the Word says. Not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I was deeply touched, so much so that I actually asked Pastor Ben if he wouldn't mind if I went to Acts chapter 8 this week and talked a little bit more. We can always approach the Word of God from different angles. And as I listened to Pastor Ben lay out that story, I thought of so many things that perhaps the Lord could teach us in that passage. Just briefly, I want to cover the story, in case anybody wasn't here, just to remind us of what takes place in Acts chapter 8. At the beginning of the chapter, you have a great persecution breaking out in Jerusalem against the church. Now, at that time, the whole church was in Jerusalem. That's where people were coming to faith. That's where people were gathering for worship. There was only one city. And in that city, terrible persecution broke out against the church. So much so that all of the believers were scattered. Now you remember, Jesus had said that beginning in Jerusalem and then going to Judea and then going to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth, the gospel would spread. Well, the Lord Jesus needed to get the gospel out of Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria, and persecution was the means that He chose to do that. So the believers are scattered, and the Scriptures tell us that wherever they went, they shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're introduced to Philip, who went to Samaria, fleeing that persecution, and began a public and a powerful ministry in Samaria in which many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. And as all of that is unfolding, then the Holy Spirit tells Philip to leave Samaria and to go to the road that leads south from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip goes in obedience. And as he is walking along that road, he sees an Ethiopian eunuch who is traveling from Jerusalem, having just worshipped at the temple. Philip runs up to the chariot, hears that this man is reading from the Scriptures, and asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "How can I if someone doesn't explain to me?" And he invites Philip up into the chariot. As it turns out, he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, the Ethiopian, and just about any reader in that day, would really have no idea what Isaiah 53 is about. And so he says, "Can you tell me what this is about?" And Philip, beginning from that passage, explains to this Ethiopian the whole good news of Jesus Christ. And that man's life is transformed so powerfully that as they go past a muddy pool along the side of the road, he says, "Can I be baptized?" And so in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, they go into the water, and the man is baptized as a demonstration of his heart being given over totally to the Lord. And then Philip is literally spirited away to Aztos, and the Ethiopian goes on his way, and probably through him, the great Church of Ethiopia is established. It's an amazing story of the power of the gospel for the transformation of the life of an individual. It's actually amazing and powerful in a number of ways. It's a clear demonstration of the breaking down of racial barriers. Think about it. Up to this point, the gospel has been proclaimed in Jerusalem, and thousands of people have come to faith in Jesus Christ. But this is the first story that we actually have of one person in conversation with another person leading him to faith. And it is a Jew sharing the gospel with an African. And that is the beginning of a powerful movement of breaking down every barrier. It's significant to the history of the church, as we've already mentioned. Jesus said that the gospel is going to go to the end of the world. And Philip was used in two of those steps. Philip's the one who took the gospel to Samaria, and Philip is the first one to see the gospel go to the ends of the world. It's a powerful story because it serves as an example to us. And as Pastor Ben walked us through this passage, he placed an emphasis on two things. He placed an emphasis on the fact that it is Jesus Christ who is the center of the gospel, and it is Jesus Christ who saves. And he placed an emphasis on baptism. Of course, mentioning our baptism service coming up September 11th. And challenging us as a church body to follow in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is an example to us of how the gospel ought to be at work in very powerful ways. And I hope that some people like me left last week thinking, that was an amazing story. I so wish God would do things like that through me. And maybe asking the question, but how? What can I do? What ought I to be doing in order to see the Lord work through me in that sort of way? And those were the kinds of things that I began to ask myself as I reviewed this passage. So today we're going to cover the same material, but from the perspective of what it is that we can be doing to be used. A couple of reminders before we go on. First of all, about two of these characters. The Ethiopian. This is a man from a faraway land. He had traveled from the furthest reaches of the Nile, a man of a very different culture, a man who was very different in his skin color, in his robes and dress, in the way he conducted himself from those around him. He really was, in terms of the known world at that time, he was the ends of the earth. And Jesus had said that the ends of the earth would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But did you notice that Philip didn't go to the ends of the earth? The Lord brought the ends of the earth to Philip. That's significant for us. We spent some time praying today about those who have gone out to take the gospel out there. I don't imagine that every one of us is going to do this. In fact, every one of us can't. Some of us have to stay. We have to pray. We have to give. We are the ones who are sending them out. But that does not cut us off from the ends of the earth. Just as the Lord brought the Ethiopian to Philip, the Lord has surrounded us with the ends of the earth. We can hardly go to the grocery store or work or the university without meeting somebody who has come to us from somewhere else and who needs to hear about Jesus Christ. About a year ago, we did a Sunday school class on reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ. And as one exercise, I asked everybody in the Sunday school class just to name out at random countries from around the world. And people were thinking of some pretty exotic countries from South America, from Africa, from Europe, from the Far East. And then we went through and we put a star next to every nation that somebody in the classroom could identify as a place from which they have met someone in our area. And we actually covered every one of them. The last one is somebody remembered a worker at RDU Airport that they struck up a conversation with. The Lord has brought the nations to us just like the Lord brought the Ethiopian to Philip. I also want to talk for a little bit about the character of Philip himself. Philip, as Pastor Ben emphasized, was an ordinary guy. He wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't a super apostle. He wasn't called and anointed and sent out. Philip was a deacon in the church. And I love our deacons. our deacons and our deaconesses, these are folks who are gifted to serve and use their gifts in very practical ways, serving the physical needs of the body of Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous ministry. The ministry of the deacons was established in Acts chapter 6, and Philip was one of those men who was chosen to serve in that way. But he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't sent out. He wasn't lifted up as a shining example to everyone of how you ought to share your faith. He was an ordinary guy who was scattered and who, as the translation says, preached the gospel as he went. This is really an unfortunate translation because it makes you think, oh, if I can't preach, then I probably can't tell people about Jesus. And the word there is just simply gospeled. He gospeled. He told the good news as he went. Philip then is quite content to fade into the background. And we don't read anything about him for 28 years until at the end of the book of Acts, he's just mentioned, Philip the evangelist, four daughters who love and follow Jesus Christ and serve as prophets in the church. 28 years and he's still doing the same thing. He's Philip the gospeler. Talking about Jesus wherever he goes. The point is that God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And it wasn't just in that day. That's what God does today. It's not the elders, it's not the preachers, it's not those who have been put in a place of ministry. It is the people of God sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that is used to take the gospel to hundreds and to thousands of people, even to the end of the earth. We're going to do something a little unusual. I hope our Skype is working. Are we ready to go? All right. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, and some of you in our church might recognize Lee. Hi, Lee. Can you hear us?
Yes.
All right, and we can hear you. I love it when a plan comes together. Lee is speaking to us from California, so it's a little bit early. Lee, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Some of you may recognize me. And so I came to the States in 2009 and from China, and I spent about 4 years in the state. And upon graduation, I and my wife moved to Boston, and the year after, we moved to California.
Great, thank you. Lee, mm-hmm. you said that you came here from China in 2009. Did you know anything about Jesus when you came here?
No, nothing at all, actually.
So how is it that you got to know about the Lord for the first time?
So, yeah, it's a very good story, actually. So that was 2009, and the first year I came to the States, and I went to a free lunch, actually, Bridge International. That's where I met the Hayes family.
What student doesn't want a free lunch, right?
Right. I have no resistance at all at that time. Yes, that's where I met the Hayes family, and that's where I first talked to Randy. That's where I was introduced to the gospel.
So how did Randy do that? How did the Hayes family introduce you to the gospel?
Yes. By the time that we met at the Bridge International event, and so basically Randy asked me a few questions, like we introduced ourselves and asked me a few questions, but not very, we didn't go too deep. Later, I was invited to my first Thanksgiving dinner at Randy's house. And from there, and we start to know more about each other. And I start to know more about gospel. And after that, and he picked me up And we went to churches every Sunday, most of Sundays. So that's where I start to expose myself to the gospel and start to hear the words from God.
And you and Randy had Bible studies together, is that right?
Yes. That was very, very helpful. And in addition to the church's life, and so Randy and I started a Bible study on Sunday afternoon after church. And we started with John, chapter John.
Excellent.
And, yes.
What were some of the questions that you had to deal with? By the way, don't worry about your son. We a lot of us have kids and we understand, so don't be concerned. What were some of the questions,
yes,
some of the things that you had to overcome in coming to faith?
So I have to admit that it took me a while. So that was my first year that I started to know the gospel. But not until the fourth year, right before I graduated, I submit myself to the Lord and got baptized. And so that was a very long journey for me to become a believer.
Required a lot of patience and probably a lot of prayer.
Yes.
Lee, what pushed you kind of over the edge to finally make that decision to follow Jesus?
Yes. So as I mentioned, it was a long journey for me. And however, I see the Hayes family, Randy, how their Christian life is, and through their daily practice as a Christian. And I'm really touched, and I think that is the one key step that makes me a believer, because I see how a real believer should practice, and how the Lord sacrificed His life and to save us, and to save us from our sins. And also, by the way, this is Brighton.
Hi, Brighton.
Yeah. So from the study and from Randy's daily practice as Christian, I really made up my mind to become a believer, and also. That plays a very important role in my marriage as well, and say my commitment to my marriage. That was in 2012, when I started the chapter talking about husband and wives, and at that moment, I know it is time.
Wonderful. And now your wife came to faith, and I believe now you told me that your aunt has come to faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes. My wife, Yue, and she became a believer after we moved to California, and so is her aunt.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Lee. Can I pray for you now?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Lord, we've already prayed today thanking you for your powerful gospel in our own lives. Thank you for the way that you saw fit to bring Lee from the other side of the world for all kinds of reasons, but not the least of which is so that he could hear the good news of Jesus. Thank you for this blessing that he and now his family can know Jesus and follow you. Lord, we pray that you would bless Lee. We pray that you would bless his wife and the boys, that they could continue to be a vibrant and joyful example and testimony of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless their marriage, give them wisdom in raising these boys. We pray that in every area of their lives, they would bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
We hope to see you again sometime.
Yeah, sure. My great pleasure to see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So Lee was baptized at Jordan Lake in 2013. And I probably don't need to exegete or expound upon that a whole lot. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. I just had somebody else share a story with me this morning. This was not scripted. Tom, look at this Facebook post. My neighbor has come to faith in Jesus Christ because we had a five-day club in our backyard and one of the moms next door has come to the Lord. God is living. He's at work. He's doing powerful things. And he does it through people like you and me. But maybe you're still asking the question, okay, but how? Well, the great thing is that if you only look at a few verbs in this passage in Acts chapter 8, we get the answer about how. The story is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But very interestingly, Philip does very little in this passage as far as grammar is concerned. There's just a few times that it says he did something. Most of the time the Lord's acting. And so the Lord tells Philip, go south to this desert road. And the scriptures tell us, verse 27, he rose and he went. It's pretty simple, but the truth is profound. He obeyed. This is a man who was accustomed to living in submission to the revealed will of God. Now, I think probably a lot of us would say, oh, how wonderful it would be if an angel appeared to me and said, go talk to your neighbor. And I don't think that's very likely to happen. But the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, no less than he was active in Philip's life. And the key element here is that Philip was willing to obey. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Scriptures tell us that Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now that idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that is nebulous and mysterious and can't be understood. When Paul gives us that command to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he is talking about something that happens daily. In fact, literally, it is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that happens constantly. And it is a matter of submission and obedience. In fact, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. In other words, don't let some outside influence like wine control you and your actions and responses. In contrast to being controlled and directed by wine, be controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Daily submitting ourselves in obedience to what God tells us to do, that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. He has revealed his will to us in the scriptures. Philip was a man who was well acquainted with fellowship with God and who was accustomed to living in obedience to God, and therefore he was ready, when it was clear what he was supposed to do, to drop everything and do it. And I want to point out, this command was not convenient and didn't make a whole lot of sense. Philip was up in Samaria, and lots of people were coming to Jesus. And God says, go to the desert. Wait a minute, aren't you doing great things here? And it wasn't a short journey. He had to travel through Israel to Jerusalem and then head south even further. And God didn't say how far he was going or where he was going or what he was going to do. The Lord just said, go, and Philip, being accustomed to obedience, went. God has things for us to do. But unless we are in the habit of daily submission and constant obedience, we will not be prepared to do those things. The essence of the Spirit-filled life is obedience. And we see that so clearly laid out in this passage. Philip was ready to obey. Sometimes we hope that God will use our words and we divorce them from our lives. That's not the way it happens. It is our life in fellowship with the Father, in submission to the Holy Spirit, that then flows out to reach others around us. So thing one, obey. Live in submission to the Scriptures. Follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's what Philip was willing to do. So, Philip rose and he went. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him. It's another one of those steps of obedience. Here's Philip walking along wondering, why did you send me out into the desert? And he sees a chariot, and again he has that prompting, run up to that chariot. I'm guessing, based upon what I hear and honestly what I see in my own life about our evangelistic patterns, that if one of us were on that desert road, we might be sitting under a palm tree and waiting for somebody to come to us. Isn't that kind of what we do? I'm going to live my quiet life in submission to the Lord, following His Word, doing my very best, and hope God sends somebody my way. And maybe they'll ask me a question, or maybe there's something they're going through, and I'll be able to help them. But the story we have of Philip is not a passive waiting. The story we have of this ordinary guy is a very proactive running up alongside. I loved it. Do you remember last week, Pastor Ben? Hey, what you reading? Do you understand it? Coming alongside. Actively putting yourself in people's lives so that you are in the place that you know what's going on. And then are able to respond to it. Responding to opportunities that are given, coming alongside, is what Philip did. The Bible is full of that sort of command. There are not a whole lot of commands in the Bible about sitting where you are and waiting for people to come to you. There is a whole lot in the Bible of going out and doing something, of coming alongside of people, entering into their lives and seeing what God will do. That's what Philip was called to do in this passage, and that is how God began to work. It requires us to overcome some barriers. I have it too. I'm scared of my neighbors. I don't know why. They're nice people. But there's this reticence to step out. We have to overcome some barriers. Well, you know what? Philip overcame a bit of a social barrier here. This was a very strange man to him, from the wild ends of the earth. But he came up alongside. This was a powerful man. I'm not sure. This passage doesn't tell us. But I imagine this guy had some guards. He certainly had power, and Philip was a man of weakness, and he had to overcome that power barrier. We probably know about power barriers in our own lives, don't we? Well, he stepped out to overcome it. He overcame racial barriers. He overcame economic barriers. He overcame religious barriers. Remember, Jews were forbidden to fellowship with Gentiles, to go into their houses, to connect in this personal way. He overcame that natural reticence to actively enter into somebody's life, to see what was going on, and to answer the questions that that man had. We have opportunities to do this. I want to emphasize that a little bit here. We have opportunities. You and I have chances to come alongside people and to enter into their lives. Within the ministries of our church, there are those opportunities. I did not design or plan this sermon as an advertisement for Bridges International. But guess what? We're starting up that ministry this fall again. And there will be people from our church who go to NC State and meet people like Lee. They will serve students lunch. They will invite them to Thanksgiving. They will ask them about Jesus. And we'll pray for God to do more mighty things. There are pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers, where you can serve. Come alongside people at their point of deepest need. We have ladies who go to jail every week, the prison ministry, coming alongside people at their point of deepest need. With Love from Jesus, a ministry to the needy started by members of our own church. Caring Hands, ladies who are ministering to folks with cancer. There are opportunities to come alongside. And there are opportunities in your own life. Just yesterday I was talking with one of her elders who said, I'm part of a running club. That's my chance to get to know people who don't know Jesus. Another lady in our church has taken on a part-time job. Sure, there are economic reasons. But she wanted to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. At school, at work, we have the opportunity to come aside. Philip heard the command and he did it. It takes me back to Colossians chapter 4, where Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. There is not a whole lot of time. Our lives are short. People come and go. Relationships change. Make the most of every opportunity. That's what Philip was willing to do. We've got to be proactive about doing it. And there's one more thing that Philip did that really seems so basic, but it's amazing to me. Verse 35, the Ethiopian asked Philip a question, and Philip opened his mouth and spoke. Now, most of the time in the Bible, when the Holy Spirit wants to tell us about somebody saying something, it just says, he said, he answered, he replied, he told. But for some reason in this one, we hear about the opening of the mouth. And boy, don't we need to do that? He opened his mouth and spoke with that man and carried on that face-to-face conversation. It requires some boldness on our part. We're afraid of offending. We're afraid of intruding. But that's the thing we've got to do. Just do it. Just open our mouths. Now, when I first thought about that, honestly, I was afraid. Because I spent some time on your Facebook pages. And I imagine some of the conversations that go on these days when believers open their mouths. And that took me back to Colossians chapter 4 again. Make the most of every opportunity, and then the very next verse, let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. We're talking about the preserving and the changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I fear that sometimes when we open our mouths, what comes out is not always gracious. Philip could have had a different conversation with this guy. He could have said, well, if you want to really be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you want to be a true Christian, the first thing you have to do is become a Jew. You need to change some of your background before you can come to Jesus. He might have identified other things in that Ethiopian's life that were contrary to the scriptures. But what Philip did was find out where that man was and go from there to talking about Jesus. And that's the key. I've got a book here. We're running out of time. Show Them Jesus. This is actually a book that's designed for people talking to children. The basic idea is that so often we preach a theistic, moralistic good news. Believe in God and do good things. And so we read the story of Abraham and Isaac, and we say we need to be willing to give up everything for God. Something that we need to do, right? Or we read the story of Joseph, and we say we need to be willing to stick with it and to have faith even in the most difficult of circumstances. Something else to do. We read the story of Jonah. We need to obey. And so in our theistic context, we give people all kinds of rules about what they ought to do. And what the author of this urges us to do with children, and what we really need to do in every area of our lives, is to always point to Jesus. When we're talking about Abraham and Isaac, Jesus is the lamb that was provided in our place. When we're talking about Joseph, the Lord is the one who provides deliverance through His people, for His people through the good news of Jesus Christ. When we're talking about Jonah, God is the one who sends His message all over the world so that people can come to repentance and faith. It's all about Jesus. Philip went to that very passage of Scripture, and using that passage, this is what it says. Beginning with this Scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. Let our conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Everything that we talk about, coming back to the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. We long to be, I don't think I have to ask you to be, we long to be ordinary people through whom God does extraordinary things. If that's going to happen, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional in our walk with God. I'm often dismayed at my own commitment to other things more than I am to the Lord. I think it's probably true for many of us. I think sometimes we're more committed to a TV show than we are to our personal devotions. Arranging our schedule to make sure we can see it. If we happen to miss it, setting our DVR so that we can do it later. We need to be intentional in our walk with the Lord, being a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be intentional about coming alongside, running up to the chariot, seeing what's going on, asking the questions, entering into the situation, and opening our mouth and pointing them to Jesus Christ. People are doing it, and God is doing amazing things. This is our chance to enter alongside and do it as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again that somebody was willing to open their mouth and tell us about Jesus. Lord, we long to be the kind of people that do that as well. Father, take your word and this example of Philip and drive it deep in our hearts. Plant it and bring about change. Show us, Lord, the ways that we can be involved. We long for our church to be a light, a lighthouse, a city on a hill, a place where the gospel is proclaimed powerfully. Where our neighborhood, where our workplace, where our families are transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we put ourselves in your hands, Lord, asking you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.